morning. It's Sunday, man, and just from our team, I like to say, hey, we love you, and we're for you. And, you know, thank you for rocking with us. All our Center Church fam online, hey, say hello in the chat area, man. Drop us an emoji so we can see you here today. But we are closing out our New Normal series, and I wanted to speak on something that I personally struggle with. Okay, I personally struggle with this. And let me say this. Isn't it refreshing to hear about how we're all kind of jacked up, right? And we're all just trying to make do with the best that we have. And I'd venture to say that I'm not alone in that this morning. And in this series, we talked kind of through three parts of every person. We talked about the spirit, and then we talked about our soul. But we also talked about the body, and on week one, we unpacked how to find peace in our spirits, and I talked about how we know love when we know God, and our spirit actually comes alive when we step into relationship with God, and then we unpacked relational peace in parenting. We got a lot of parents out here, and I know that that can be a stress sometimes, and there's different things that you're possibly walking through, and one of our pastors, Chris, he talked about how we can find that relational peace through parenting some of our littles, the next generation. And last week, I talked through finding that same peace in our souls. And I used the metaphor of building this house, this emotional house. And, you know, we build it upon foundation and also structure, but we complete it through trusting in God, our soul peace. Today, I want to focus on that third part, okay, which is our bodies. Oh, Lord, help us. Our bodies. Because if you want to navigate the new normal with some confidence, if you want to navigate this new normal with some steadfastness, we've got to care for the thing that we're actually operating from, and it's this body. And understand that God knows that I'm not definitely the guru on how to take care of all of this, all right? I like my prime rib and mashed potatoes more than the average bear, okay? But, you know, I saw something on the internet this past week, and it said this. It said, how y'all summer body looking? And mine looks like I have a really great personality. You know what I'm saying? That's how it kind of goes sometimes. And I mentioned that I was in a wedding last week, and they served all-you-can-eat tacos, and it wasn't even Tuesday, okay? And I'll tell you what, I got mine. I ain't going to tell you how much I ate, but I got mine. I'll tell you that right now. And I'm in the more-to-love category, okay? Let's be real. But all jokes aside, okay, when we experience changes, when we go through hard situations, it's easy for our health to get out of control. Again, that might be some stress through the pandemic. There might be pressure to achieve or even pressure to just get by. You might be going through some financial stress, relational stress. And when that happens, it affects most of the time. One of the things that gets the first hit is our health. I can say that personally. I know how that feels. And as I study this message, I want you to know that I was challenged, but I was also encouraged. And this talk, it isn't just about consuming pastries or tacos, okay? Because some of us, that's an area of strength in your life. You might have a regimen. You possibly have a plan. But there's also other areas of consumption that vastly affect your spirit and your soul. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. And if you want to navigate this new normal with some authority, if you want to navigate this new normal with some power, we have to strengthen all three of those areas, not only your spirit, not only your soul, but also our bodies. And my hope is that you're challenged, but also encouraged today, because God has something to say about this very thing. So I want to start off in Romans chapter 7. It's in your notes this morning. Go ahead and get that out. Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 22. This is the Message translation of this passage. It says this. It says, it happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. Notice this next part. I truly delight in God's commands. But it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Parts of me covertly rebel. Kind of like a secret agent. Covertly, I want to do a lot of good things, but man, there's something inside of me that puts on this disguise, and it goes the other way. Notice the last part. It says, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. And the Apostle Paul, he's like, hey, the inner part of me really loves God. It really does want to delight in the Lord, but sometimes there are parts of me that are like not with the program. You know what I'm saying? It desires to do its own thing. Parts of me that really want to rebel. And when I least expect it, those parts, sometimes the Bible says, it takes over. It takes charge. Have you ever felt like that before? Man, you really love God. You really want to do good stuff. But sometimes there are parts of me that are just like not with the program. It wants to do its own thing. Maybe you can resonate with that. But I don't know about you, but that's me a lot. That's me pretty often. I want to do good, but they're just parts of me that are like, no, 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 not today. And some of us, it's not just a one-off or sometimes type of a deal. It's actually a deep, deep struggle. And then it's even a, this is going to be your first underline there, okay, your first point. And when I say this word, I know it's going to trigger some people today. I know it's going to trigger some of us. It's an addiction. I'm going to write that down. An addiction. And maybe just hearing that word, it strikes you negatively. It triggers something because in our minds, an addict is someone who is maybe strung out on drugs. You have this thought in your mind that someone who's an addict, they're doing crazy things or in a rehab somewhere, and you're like, Josh, I'm not an addict. How dare you say that? But the word addiction just means anytime you continually do something you do not want to do and you're not able to stop doing it. That's addiction. And all of us experience some addictions from time to time. And, you know, that's why we talk about finding freedom in our lives. It's one of our core values as a church. And part of finding freedom is truly getting honest with yourself and saying, you know what, this area, this thing, man, it's really having some control in my life. And as God's people, man, we got to get hot. We got to get hot, more than just the temperature, man. We got to get honest, open, and transparent, because if we don't, that thing will master you. Romans 6, verse number 12 to 14, it says this. It's in your notes. It says this. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God, for sin shall not be your master. Notice that word, underline it, circle it this morning. It shall not be your master. In that word master, it basically means to rule, to have a dominion over you, to lord over you. And for some, that's exactly where you are today. There is something in your life that is ruling over you, and all of us, if we're being honest, we all have a master that's having dominion over our lives. For some of us, it's food. That's mine. For others, it's addiction to the likes on social media. Can I get an amen? You know what I'm saying? It's the, man, I gotta post that thing. That man, that was really profound. How many people are going to share that and like that? For others, it's shopping. Hello? Shopping. I got to buy this. I got to go buy that. I got to have it. I got to have it now. It could be TV, Netflix, sports, money, your career, achievement, and the list continues to go on, but it is mastering you. Josh, how do I know if there's something in my life that's mastering me? And I want us to ask ourselves a couple questions this week to know if there's something that's actually mastering us. It might be in your notes today. I'm not sure, but ask yourself this. Okay, number one, can you go 1 week without it? Can you go 1 week without it? Okay, I'm a millennial, okay? I operate a little differently. We're a little weird. I'm on YouTube like every single day, okay? I swear to you, I think I'm on YouTube like every, like I can't go a day without doing work, whatever, and YouTube is on. It's like, I need that. I need to just listen to music. I don't know, listen to something. Question, can you go 1 week without that? Here's another question to ask ourselves this week. Is it leading you to greater levels of isolation? Is it leading you to greater levels of isolation? It's this one. It's taking you away from your family. It's taking you away from your closest, from your spouse. Is it leading you to greater levels of isolation? How about this? Do you arrange your schedule around it? Hey, we can't do that, man. I can't miss the show. I can't miss that ball game. Hey, this is what we do. I can't. Do you arrange your schedule around it? Here's the last one. This one's a really great one, okay, for us. If you're going to ask yourself, man, is there an addiction or something in my life that's mastering me? Here's the last one. Are you keeping it a secret? Do you keep it a secret from your spouse? Are you keeping it a secret from those that, man, you know that they have the best intentions for you? And, you know, man, if they knew that I was doing that, are you keeping a secret? Understand, today is not trying to shame you. I love you. Our church loves you. We want the best for you, but I do believe that this new normal has created some strong masters in us, and we got to uncover that so we can be restored. We need to uncover that so we can thrive. Addictions. Here's the second area in the Bible that describes what happens when, as relates to our bodies. The first one was addiction. Here's the second one. Don't lose me here. It's debauchery. Debauchery. Like, Josh, what are you talking about, debauchery? Okay, I know it's not a common word. We don't use it a lot in normal conversation. But debauchery, and this is what it is. Okay, this is in your notes this morning. Debauchery is extreme indulgence in sensuality. It's extreme indulgence in sensuality. You indulge in your senses in an extreme way. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. We talked about some of those this morning. You know, it could be food, TV, shopping. These are all normal things. But debauchery is doing way too much of that. It's basically saying, you know what? I'm going to let my body call the shots. However I feel, whatever I want, that's what I'm going to do. You know, there's no holding back. Guess what? That never leads to anything good. For some of us, I'm going to be real careful here. I know we have some littles, okay? Debauchery, this thing, this extreme indulgence in sensuality, it's mastering your physical, extracurricular, upside-down Macarena type. You know what I'm saying? It is in your your sex life. It's mastering you. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that search history looks like. It's mastering you. It's mastering your heart. It's mastering your spirit. Addiction, debauchery. And today all I want to do is I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you to get a new master. Let me just encourage you to get a new master today. Because God has better for you. God has better for me. And I want to own this new normal. And if we're going to do that, we got to understand something today, that if you are a Jesus follower, if you call yourself a follower of Christ, this body actually isn't yours. It does not belong to us. It actually belongs to someone else. It's someone who paid a high price to reconcile you back into relationship with God, and his name is Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 19, this is what it says. I want us to see this here clearly this morning. It says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God?" Notice this next part. Maybe you want to underline it this morning. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. And for the Christian, we got to understand that this body actually belongs to God. So anything I do, and how I treat it, how I operate in it is a direct correlation to how I'm honoring God with this body. You are not your own. Corinthians says you were bought with a price. Let me leave you three truths today, but also three applications. I don't want to leave you hanging, okay? And I want you to write these down, maybe take notes today. And when you have a moment to pause with the Lord this week, man, mindfully work through them and even apply them this week. Here's the first one. Okay, we got to understand this. Here's number one. Write this down. My body is a place where God dwells. My body is a place where God dwells. The Spirit of God is in me. I'm the sanctuary where God dwells. And I believe that there's lots of people out there, even church people, good people, that have misconceptions about where God dwells. And I think oftentimes we think, you know, where God is, we automatically think, hey, God is inside of some type of building. He's on a building that says church out front. Like he's like in this holy place, but for the believer, the Bible actually says he indwells in us. He takes residence in us when we cross the line of faith. You're the church building. You're the sanctuary. And it's even funny how sometimes, you know, we get like with church buildings, right? Some of us get really proper, right? We like to take off our hats. Maybe you lower your voice. Even the sinnerist of sinners. Can I use that? Even the sinnerist of sinners, they get real like I don't want to spill my coffee in the cathedral. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be careful. Let me ask you this. What would it be like if we saw ourselves the same way? Not just a building, but you saw yourself as a sanctuary where God dwells. What if we saw ourselves as the holy place where God resides? What if we treated our bodies with that same level of respect? Hey, I'm preaching to myself today. This isn't about losing or gaining weight, okay? What is mastering your life? What's mastering you? What's mastering your sanctuary? Are you taking care of the building? You know, one of the best ways to take care of this building is just being aware of what I'm allowing inside of it, right? And the gateway where we allow things to come in usually is through our eyes. I want you to notice a passage of scripture in the book of Matthew. This is what it says. It's super intriguing. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 22, it says, "The eye is a lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light." Then it says, "But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness." The eye is the lamp. If your eyes are good, man, your eyes are full of light. But if your eyes are bad, the body's full of darkness. And this eye is the lamp because whatever enters in through the eye gate, it usually affects your mind. It affects the way that we are thinking. It affects your thoughts, and your thoughts, they have a habit of steering how we operate in this body. Romans says this. It's not in your notes. Chapter 8, verse number 5. Maybe you want to write that down. It says, "Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit." Oh, it is so important what we allow into our minds, what we allow ourselves to ruminate on. So what do we got to do this week? What's the application for that? I want you to write this down. It's to detox. Man, there's some things that I have to put away. There's some things that I have to take out of my queue on Netflix. There's some things I got to get off of my queue on whatever that looks like on the TV or YouTube. Man, I got to detox some things. For some of us, it's food. For some of us, you got to decide, I'm going to put away some things that have been mastering me for a long time. I'm going to be very mindful about what I'm letting in to promote some health in my spirit and my soul. I'm going to detox. For some of us, it's what we're allowing into our eye gate. Social media, TV, I don't know. But if you decide this week that, hey, instead of just sitting down to watch like 5 hours of that program, I'm just going to take a walk this week. Hey, instead of just like sitting down to just, you know, mindfully just be like on social media or you know, playing that game, and I'm going to go for a run. I'm going to read something that's going to build up my character. Let's go on a body detox this week. You know, I've been slowly, keyword slowly, applying this since April 5th, like right after Easter. You know why? Because I need it. I need it. I started walking in the morning because that's where I'm at, you know. Can't even go on a full jog yet. Just like walk in, huffing and puffing. You might see me around town doing that. Like, and I kind of, you know, it's the 23rd. I'm at a slow jog right now with some breaks, you know. I'm not ashamed. I started reading more. If you know me, I don't like, I could read the Bible, you know, but like reading other, like it's just not my thing. I started reading more. I want to build something up in me. I want to stop just hours and hours of, and I'm going to build something up inside my faith, my character. I started drinking more water. I even started doing yoga at night. Oh, my wife knows. That's why she's laughing, because she saw me. I literally typed yoga for big guys on YouTube. They got something for everybody. I don't know where you need to make some pivots today. I don't know where you need to make some changes. But if you start this week, if you just start, you're going to feel fit, physically better. More importantly, man, you're going to feel something better in your spirit, something in your soul. Hey, why don't you text a friend? Hey, let me do something this week. Can you help me out? Hey, let's get somebody to help us out. Let's get some accountability. My body is a place where God dwells. So you know what? This week, I'm gonna detox. You know, just not 21 days. We usually do like a 21 day thing. Hey, just for 1 week, I'm gonna detox some stuff. Here's a second thought. Okay, my body belongs to God. My body belongs to God. Not only is my body the place where God dwells, but my body belongs to God. Hey, if you're not a Jesus follower here today, there's lots of us that come and you just, hey, I just want something that encourages me. Hey, this is going to sound crazy, but this is a spiritual truth. The God of heaven created you. He designed you. He gave his life in exchange for your own. I am not my own. I was bought with the price. I've been bought by the blood of Jesus, and I don't belong to myself, my body. It actually belongs to Almighty God. In Romans chapter 12, it's in your notes, verse 1. It's a really amazing passage. It says this. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. I'm going to stop right there. In view of God's mercy. Understand something this morning, that God is merciful. If you've messed up, if you've dropped the ball, if you've been overindulging in some stuff, secret stuff, maybe even sin, if you've been letting your body call the shots, God is willing to let you off the hook again and again and again and again. He is merciful. See, mercy is not getting what we deserve. And I'll tell you what, I deserve a lot worse than I've been given. That's how jacked up I can be. But because of God's mercy, I've been given another chance. The verse, it ends like this. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your true and proper worship, circle worship. Because he has been so merciful to us, the greatest way to say, God, I now belong to you, here's your application, is to worship him in your body. Let me challenge you this week to turn on some worship music. Let me challenge you this week. Let me encourage you maybe to turn down some other stuff. Maybe even turn off some other things and start feeding your spirit, start feeding your soul. Maybe you just listen to one worship song a week, just every single morning. Maybe on the drive to work. Maybe while you're doing something in the house. Maybe you turn it on in your home while your family, they're doing chores, they're doing their everyday thing. You just kind of have it in the background. You create this atmosphere. Maybe you're like Chuck and Carla Ingram, and you just blast the thing like it's a straight-up concert up in there, man. Every single time, I'll tell you what, every single time I go to Chuck and Carla's house, it's like a concert. I walk in, I'm about to give like a tithes and offering to them. They blast it, man. And you know, there's just an atmosphere. There's just something different. And I love that. Hey, parents, maybe you set the tone of worship in your home this week. And you're like, you know what? Hey, we're not gonna play that. Doc McStuffins can chill for a second. I'm going to play some worship this week. Maybe today when we sing and we kind of close out as a family, you decide to lift your hands as a family and just say, you know what, God, we're giving you our worship. As a family, God, we are offering that to you. For some of us, you've been walking with Jesus for a really long time, and you haven't lifted your hands to God as an outward expression of what's going on in here. And you know, I've heard it before, Josh, like, that's just not me. I'm an introvert. I don't like to, you know, it's just not my thing. When the Padres hit, they pitch a no-hitter, you are. When the, you know, hey, yeah, no-hitter, man, it's the first time in history, yeah, hey. You won your kiddo, they score that soccer goal. When they make, you know, a three-pointer, hey, we're all about it. Your conservative worship only protects your ego. Can I say that? You're conservative. It's just not me. It only protects your ego. This isn't a shame thing. This, all I'm saying is that the God of heaven sent his son. He gave his life. He literally flooded you and me with grace and mercy so that we can live a life better than we deserve. Man, all I have, the tiny that I have is just to offer him, God, you are so good. Man, you bless me way more than the Padres. Come on, somebody. We can do it when our favorite sports team, man. What about God? Man, you're, God, you're so good. This week, maybe even today, God, I'm just going to offer you not the worship I want to give. I'm going to offer you the worship you deserve. My body belongs to God, so, man, I'm going to worship him in it. My body's a place where God dwells. My body belongs to God. Here's the last thought. I'm going to close today, okay? Number three, my body was made to honor God. My body was made to honor God. I'm going to ask my father-in-law, Ron, to come up here. I'm sorry, I didn't give you a little warning. He's going to play something because, you know, when you play music underneath a preacher, it's a little bit more spiritual, right? So I'm going to have him do that. My bad, Dad. I'm sorry. Number three, my body was made to honor God. Let me challenge you to honor God with your body, to honor him with your life. A lot of what we talked about today is what we're going to stop doing. Hey, I'm going to put this, I'm going to detox from that. But let me close with what we need to start doing. Because, you know, the real secret of living a life-giving relationship with God isn't about what you stop doing, but it's about what you start doing. And the church has this bad reputation of really being known by what we're against. Hey, we're going to stop doing that. Hey, we don't do that. We don't do that. We don't stand for that thing. We're against that issue. And I want to spin that on its head today. And I want to say that the church needs to be known by what we're for. And this isn't about you. Hey, you better read your Bible or else. Today is, hey, God has something special he wants to give to you. God wants to lift you up. He wants to encourage you today. This isn't about, hey, if you just pray more or else, you better do this. Today is, hey, God is so in love with you that when you call him on the phone, he can't wait to pick it up. God is for you. He wants to see you win in that body that you're living in. And one of the secrets to getting this body in control is to not keep telling it what not to do, but to actually let it operate in what it was meant to do. And that's purpose. That's purpose. It was, you were created for a reason. That reason was to honor him. Your body can be an instrument to honor God. Think about that for just a second. Romans chapter 6, verse 13 says this. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. Your body has a purpose. That's the last application. My body has a purpose. One way to stay pure in your body is literally to have something greater than what my body desires. That's purpose. When your body desires to go wild, when those addictive habits, man, they creep up, when your body wants to call the shots, remember your purpose, man. My body was made to honor God. Detox, worship, purpose. What does that look like for you this week? How can you walk that out? I'm not talking about traditional Christianity where we just kind of go with all this head knowledge. How can you walk that out in your life this week? How can you make a difference? What do you need to, man, I just need to put this away this week, man, so I can honor God. I need to realign myself. How can you prioritize worship this week? Maybe today you just needed a little reminder that God created your body to honor him. Can I pray for us, God? Thank you so much for this challenge. God, I was challenged today. I was challenged this week, and I got to make some pivots. And I know that I'm possibly not alone. And God, I pray for my friends, especially maybe some of them that are at the other side of the screen. They might be sitting in a Starbucks somewhere. Maybe they're in their home. Maybe they're in a place where it's like, God, I'm addicted to this thing and I can't let go. If that's you today, I want to pray a prayer of healing over you, a prayer of power over you. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand this morning, but you know, right there in your seats, if you're like, Josh, man, there are some things that are just mastering me. And I just need some, super on my natural. I'd like to pray for you today. I'd like to pray for you. If that's you, I need to ask you to bow your head. Let me pray over you. Even at home, let me pray for you guys. God, I pray for my friends that are sitting in the middle of this park. I pray for everybody who's on the other side of this screen that might be experiencing something in their life that is mastering them. It is literally eating at their soul. It's destroying their marriage. It is just doing things in them that they know that they don't want. Father, I pray for that person who is struggling, that they would rest in you. They would say yes to you today, God, because you give us power to overcome. Lord, we love you. We're grateful that you provided a way. Your word says in Isaiah that you bring streams in the desert. You make a way when there is no way. So God, we rest in you this morning. Give us the victory. Give us the power to overcome. Lord, we love you. In your name. Amen.